possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop Backstage Pass Podcast and Metal Shop here on The Rock. And we're actually talking with Necrot bassist vocalist Luca Indrio. We got to see him. Seems like a lifetime ago, but really wasn't even that long ago with Gatecreeper and Exhumed. Killer show. You guys have a new record coming out August 28th called Mortal. Highly anticipated record. But Luca, man, how are you doing today? How are you holding up during this weird time? How are you doing, man?
Well, listen, I'm doing great. I was doing really shitty a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But now I'm doing good. Like, you know, initially it's like we were all very bummed about, like, you know, we lost like literally 90 shows that we were going to do between May and September.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that was like a big hit. It was both economically, you know, all the money we were supposed to make we're not making. But also it's like, you know, it's also your lifestyle that changes because it's like we're not used to stay put for too long, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like a combination of these things, like, you know, initially made us very upset.
Absolutely.
And, after a little bit, though, it's like, you know, you can be upset. It's like, it's stupid. It's like, it's a waste of time. Everything in life, you know, every time. Everything is going to go through shit eventually, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you get over upset every time something doesn't go the way you want it to go, you're just going to spend your life like a miserable loser. So it's like, you know, I was bummed initially, but then I snapped out of it because what's the point of sitting around being sad of something that you have no control over it?
Exactly.
Because it's like, it doesn't depend on us when shows are going to start back. There is politics. And also it's like, you know, there is people who are, you know, I don't have kids. I don't have a mm-hmm. wife, a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody I need to take care of. I'm like, you know, I'm 33 year old dude. And like, you know, I'm going to be all right.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I feel there is people that like, they're literally losing their house. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their, eventually their relationship over this. They're losing their, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I always like to maintain, like, you know, some kind of decency and, like, you realize that overall, like, you know, my situation is extremely easy compared to other people that eventually they have, like, a family or parents that are old that need medication or I don't fucking know, man. Like, you know, life can be horrible.
Yeah, it's good to
so
see.
So overall, I'm okay, man. Overall, I really can't complain. I would be, like, such an asshole for complaining and it's like, you know, we have an album coming out mm-hmm. and it's like, I think it's sick and like, I'm excited for people to hear it and listen to it. And like, you know, I'm definitely, you know, things are not easy at all because it's like, we all have to figure it out ways to survive through yep. this and like mm-hmm. living in the Bay Area, it doesn't help at all.
Expensive, but like,
I found
yeah.
myself, I found a solution for myself because I subletted my rent in the Bay Area, and I am in Mexico right now.
Because, oh, wow. Like, I can, okay.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I love to come to Mexico, but, like, also, like, I can literally get by here with, like, less than $500 a month. And this is including, like, you know, rent, food, or anything I need. So it's like, you know, for me, I came here just to wait this out because I can't stay in the Bay Area right now paying rent. It's, like, it's impossible without working.
You know? Yeah.
So it's like, I'm in a temporary
solution. That's good, you figured
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to do this, both because I only have to worry about myself. And second is because I always sublet my room every time I go on tour anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm very much used to do this, to sublet my room and be somewhere else. So it's like, you know, I found this solution and it's like, you know, it's fine for now. At least it gives me some time to wait and see what happens without being like, you know, ending up homeless in the Bay Area. So it's like, this is fine. But at the same time, I'm super excited because Mortal is coming out in a couple of weeks. And like, I think the album is sick. And we put a lot of work to have it ready. And like, I just can't wait for people to listen to it. You know, it's very exciting, regardless of not being able to play shows, which really sucks. But at the same time, we still got something. We still got something going on with the band right now. We got the new album, which is very exciting.
It's a hell of a time to put out an album, right?
It is. But also, it's like, I feel that, like, you know, death metal has always been the, for me, has always been like the true soundtrack of the world. And like, I feel like right now more than ever. Like, you know, I feel like right now our lyrics that always made sense to me, they make sense even to more people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. I mean, it's kind of that apocalyptic thing that we always heard, you know, bands like Malevolent Creation writing about, or like Incantation, you know, it's like the end times, it almost feels like. So I think you guys will be a good soundtrack for that. So what
for when we all die.
Yeah, oh my god. August 28th is the release of the new record. What can you tell us about it? Obviously you guys have released a song from the record. You can hear it now on the Bandcamp and YouTube. But without spoiling too much, what can you tell us a little bit about Mortal?
Well, if you don't know the band at all, it's a death metal album.
Yeah. And, okay.
If you do know the band and you heard our previous records called Blood Offerings and you liked it, you should expect something better from this one, because that's how we feel about it.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, 3 years went by from Blood Offerings to this record. And it was definitely not 3 years that we've been just sitting around.
Oh, you guys were on
more than 100 shows every year.
You guys were road dogs. Shows. Yeah.
Road dogs. But like, we got so much better just by playing all the fucking time all over the place. And also, it's like, you know, we shared the stage. We toured like Immolation, Cannibal Corpse, Morbid Angel, Suffocation, like you name it.
Yep.
Play a show with Exhumed. We play with Possessed. We play with, at this point, we're fucking friends with everybody.
Some of the gods.
And, yeah, and it's like, not only that, it's like, you know, we got to be on the road with them and become friends with them. And it's like, you know, we felt a real connection with a lot of these people, because like, we seen them what we want to be, and they saw in us what they used to be, because all these bands came from the underground. You know what I mean? None of these bands, like, you know, were a product of a big label that created some kind of like band image to sell. Like, you know, all these bands came from garages and like playing underground shows in people's basements and same as we did. So it's like, you know, it was really cool to connect with all these gods of death metal, because it's like, we became just friends like super easily, because it's like, we really had a connection of being like, oh, you guys are doing what we used to do, and like, you know, and you're doing what we want to do. So like, you know, it was really cool. So it's like, you know, we gained so much confidence just from being on the road with these guys and like watching play every night. And, you know, when you're playing every night and when you finish your set, the words that you say are like, oh, you know, the next band is Morbid Angel. You better be fucking playing. You better be fucking playing good. You know what I mean? So it's like every night for us was like a challenge. You know, we're no more playing in front of a few people in the underground scene. It's like, now we're playing right before the big guys.
Yep.
And we don't want to sound any less than them. You know what I mean? Because we always had that spirit. You know what I mean? We always had that arrogance of being like, you know, because I remember even me and Chad at the very beginning listening to like Nihilist demos or shit like that. And we were like, how the f*** can they play so fast? How the f*** can they play so heavy? How the f*** can they play so good? And we were both like, well, they were probably just playing all day, every day. So it's like, we better f***ing do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, we always wanted to be as good as the best. That was always our goal. So it's like, we've been doing it for almost, 9 years now in Necra. And it's like, you know, even both of us, we had death metal bands before, because I played in Acephalix since 2008.
Yeah.
And Bodstorm. And like, you know, so it's like, we've been playing death metal for over a decade, trying to become the best. Or, you know, trying to, not the best, but like to become as good as the best.
The best that, you that can be,
always,
yeah.
That
yeah.
was always the goal, you know. And then you finally actually get to play with these guys, and you actually... And you actually get to talk with them, and, you know, we had so much confirmation that what we were doing was good from these people. You know what I mean? We've had people, Steve Tucker, telling us, like, you know, you guys are fantastic. You guys are great. You guys are the future of this, of death metal, because you guys are doing it right. You know,
That's
you have
awesome.
People like that telling you that, and you're like, you know, it gives you extra confidence to get even better.
Hell
and
yeah.
then it's like, you know, we got to record, we got to write Mortal, and I had like 3-4 months to write the whole album, because that was the only break we took from tours. And it wasn't even a full break, because we still went like 4 days in Canada and played some shows. We still had a couple local shows. We had a show with our other bands. So it's like, you know, we had 3-4 months of partial break to fucking write the whole album.
That's crazy.
With the pressure of making an album that was better than Blood Offerings, that everybody loved. But at the same time, we had that confidence, and we had the work stamina of like working towards the band every single day was the new normal, you know? So like for me, it was every day I wake up and try and write the songs for the album. And then me and Chad were practicing every day. And then we like, you know, and then, so we ended up writing this album in those 3-4 months and getting it all ready. And then Sonny wrote the solos. Then we were used to work on the band every day. So then it's like, we got back from tour after 3 months, and we had a month and a half to practice the songs before going in the studio, and we practiced every day in a row. And then we got into the studio, and we were in the studio every day besides 2 days a week. We were taking breaks Saturday, Sundays, but then we were Monday through Friday in the studio. We were there at least 4 weeks in a row, and that's it. We did the album, and it was done. So it's like, you know, there was pressure, but at the same time, there was such an huge amount of confidence that like kind of like mixed with the pressure, it was kind of like the perfect scenario, you know, to get the best out of it.
Because you know, you do have to acknowledge that like there is a little bit of pressure, because you guys put out a killer first like big record from you guys, and then, you know, you're going into the sophomore follow-up, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of expectations, but that's cool that you have that confidence, because you said you guys were kind of road tested at that point, and you guys gotten so much love from all these like, you know, metal gods, so that's fucking rad.
Totally. And you need the pressure. You need the pressure in everything you do, because you need a little pressure. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to slack. You know, my band knows that, too. Sometimes I'm a little hard on Chad and Sonny, but because I want him to give the best.
Totally. You know? Totally. Necrot's a Bay Area band, but let's get a little bit about your background. Where are you from originally? Were you born in the Bay Area? And what made you fall in love with metal?
Well, I was born in Florence, Italy.
Oh.
But I always tried to get the fuck out of there. And I went to, when I was 18, I moved to London.
Wow.
And then I was there for a period. And then I moved back to Italy for another short period. And then when I was 21, I moved to Oakland. And Chad is from San Jose, California. So he's pretty much from the Bay. And Sonny, our guitar player, is from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
And I moved to Oakland 12 years ago, and I think that Sonny moved to the Bay about 15 years ago, something like that.
What drew you to Oakland?
Mostly, like, you know, it was a mix of things, because, like, I used to have bands in Italy, and with one of which we actually did European tours and stuff. But then it's like, it didn't work out for obvious reason. Like, it's really hard to have a touring band in Italy. Like, you know, the economy is bad, and like, it's hard to like keep a job. Like, if you ask for days off to play music, they won't allow it.
Okay.
And like, it's very much more complicated.
Yeah.
To I think the flexibility of the United States is what allows a lot of artists to thrive. You know,
sure.
Because there is places where it's cheap to live, or it used to be. And used there is to be, more yeah. job. There is more. Yeah, it used to be. There is more job opportunities. So it's like, you know, if you lose your job to go on tour, fuck it, you just go find another one.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the U.S. was always a great place for music, and I knew it. And I have family all over the world, for real, because like we Italians, we travel a lot. I have family in Australia. I have families in different parts of Europe. I have family in different parts of the U.S. But, you know, my uncle, which is like almost 7 years old now, he has lived in Auckland since he was in his 20s.
Oh, wow.
So it's like when I was born, he was already here since like 10 years. So it's like I had this uncle in Auckland that I knew, like, you know, because he would come to Italy, you know, once in a while. And like I would always see him like a couple of days. I would see him like a couple of days a year or every couple of years. You know what I mean? We were close because we were family, but we didn't know each other extensively. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was a connection. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go there. And I remember I called him and I told him, I was like, hey, can you help me out for like, you know, a week, 2 weeks? Can I crash at your place until I find my own situation?
Yeah.
And he actually told me, was like, look, he was like, why don't you come? He's like, I'm going on vacation soon with my family for a couple of weeks. And I need someone who's going to watch over my house.
That's great.
So why don't you come in that period so you can watch over my house and you have a couple of weeks to find your own place? So that's that was awesome. Kind of like my way in, because it's like, perfect. You know, I came in, I had his house for 2 weeks, and I, you know, and back then, like finding a room on Craigslist in Auckland was extremely easy, you know. Anyway, like the way I got into the music scene is because immediately when I got there, I got to know about Craigslist, and I put an ad on Craigslist saying that I wanted to either join a band or I wanted to start a band.
Yeah.
And I put some bands down as reference, and I think that I put like Motorhead, Venom, Discharge, Morbid Angel. I throw down a bunch of bands.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, you know, eventually Kyle from Acephalix called me because their bass player just quit.
Okay.
So it was like, hey, do you wanna try out for us? And that was after like not even 10 days that I was in Auckland. And I tried it out. And I borrowed a bass and an amp from him, and immediately the first practice was fantastic, so I was immediately part of the band. So, like, after 10 days, I was already playing with Acephalix.
That's awesome.
Full-time. Because, like, at the time, we were practicing, like, 3-4 times a week. That's how mental we were.
Wow. Okay.
So it was, like, it was great. I immediately had a lot of time, a lot of music, you know, going on in my life.
Yeah, you're plugged in. Yeah.
I plugged in immediately, and then, like, you know... And I think Sonny came here for the same reasons. You know, lots of people come to the Bay Area because they want to play music. Or at least they used to. I doubt it's going to be like that anymore, thanks to the fucking tech companies that destroyed everything. But, like, it used to be like that. It used to be art and music and, like, you know, affordable housing for artists to be able to do art. But, like, that's the past.
Well, talking about the past, now that you bring that up, let's go all the way back to when you were in Italy as a child. What was your first exposure to metal? What was, like, that light bulb moment? What kind of was your first, like, foray into this, like, dark underground music?
Well, the thing is, that, like, I lived really close, like, a few blocks away from an occupied place, a squat.
Oh.
That used to have shows every weekend. So, like, since I was, like, 14, I used to spend a lot of time there because, it's like, you know, it was a really free, like, you know, beers were $1.
Yeah.
You could smoke there. Like, you know, there was a lot of people going there. You could meet a lot of people. There was also, like, you know, they were organizing demonstrations. There was a whole political aspect to it, too. But there was also, like, a big aspect of, like, you know, music and entertainment. Because it's like, as you know, like political squats in Italy, a way to get people to go there is the entertaining. So there is shows, there is other activities, and then eventually people get introduced to the politics. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the entertainment part is always very important for a political occupied place. Otherwise, people wouldn't go there because it's boring. You know what I mean?
That's
just
true.
To talk about politics all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, I became involved there, and like I helped with my friends. We helped building a practice space in there. We straight up built a wall to create a room, and we did some insonorization work in the place. This was when I was like 15, 16.
Wow.
And then we were part of like we were part of, like, yeah, because one of my friends was a carpenter at the time, because he left high school to work as a carpenter with his dad, so he knew how to do it, and we helped him, you know. And but, like, we were part of, like, you know, organizing shows there, and it's, like, literally in Italy, what people really loves is reggae. Dancehall is techno, is other stuff, is eventually rocksteady or shit like that.
Yeah.
So it's like me and my friends, we were the part that was trying to organize other stuff. So mm-hmm. it's like we were trying to book like punk bands, metal mm-hmm. bands, mm-hmm. hardcore bands, mm-hmm. punk rock, whatever it could be that wasn't reggae.
Fair enough.
So it's like, you know, I got introduced to a lot of alternative music in general, not just metal, but also metal. Like, you know, when I was really young, there was a lot of like hardcore, metal, punk, you know, all kind, punk rock, whatever wasn't reggae or techno, for us was like, let's do it. But then it's like, you know, playing, I was playing in a band and we played like, When I was really young, our favorite band was Motorhead.
Cool.
It was Motorhead and it was Venom. So it was like I had a band that sounded kind of like that. And but yeah, I mean, what really got me close to death metal was the band Death, Chuck Schuldiner.
Okay.
And especially in particular the album Human, because for me it was the first time that a metal band, a death metal band, that I was really enjoying the lyrics on top of the music.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To me, that's what made it extra special. I really always enjoyed Chuck Schuldiner's lyrics. So to me, that was like the full completion, like complete, you know, amazing music, amazing lyrics.
Totally.
Because I always loved other bands that were popular at the time, like, you know, Cannibal Corpse or like even Morbid Angel were really popular mm-hmm. or like in the metal, you know what I mean? Or like, but like the bands that really, I was like, oh, Death and early Sepultura, Max Cavalec, Schizophrenia, Bestial Devastation, Beneath the Remains, those albums, like, I don't know, I listened to like a million times growing up.
Yeah.
Like, and the reason why I loved those albums a lot, it was also the music and the lyrics together. Because I did listen to a lot of punk too. We loved, like, you know, the Dead Kennedys and like all these bands. Like, and of course, like, you know, even when we were younger, when we were like 14, whatever, we even liked punk rock bands mm-hmm. like, you know, Rancid or The Cramps. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, you know what I mean? So it's like there was a huge variety of alternative music, let's say, when I was 13, 14, 15. But then more and more, is like, you know, I was getting more and more aggravated by life in general. So it's like you start listening to more heavy and darker stuff, you know, especially like, you know, when you're a teenager, especially growing up in Italy, you get so much freedom as a kid because you can drink. They let you into bars. You can stay out, especially with my parents. They're like, you know, they always left us. I could, when I was 14, 15, I could come back home whenever I wanted. I could leave and come back after 2 days. My mom wouldn't give a shit. She's like,
yeah.
She was like, as long as you don't fail school, you can do whatever you want.
Nice. So you got some freedom, like, you know,
I got the complete freedom, which is like super. I went through so much when I was little, just from doing so much stupid things. And like, I consider myself extremely lucky for coming out of it, you know, mostly unarmed. But like, you know, it was great because it's like between 15 and 18, I did all the mistakes that you can possibly do in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was 19, I was an adult. I had no willing to repeat those mistakes I've already done.
Totally.
So it's like, in a way, it was really cool because like, you know, I was 19. I already experienced a lot of things, from drugs to loss to, like, you know, deceive to also the life in an occupied squad place with a lot of politics and involved and a lot of, like, you know, understanding, like, you know, talking with touring bands and, like, you know, organizing their show and, like, you know, you already get an idea of what it is to be in a touring band by just being in contact of people doing that, you know.
Absolutely.
So, like, yeah, I mean, I got to be, like, you know, I got to be an adult very young. And then, like, you know, when I was 18, I moved and went to London and got a job and started living by myself. And I went there by myself. I didn't know anybody there. And then it's like, you know, I pretty much did the same again when I was 21 mm-hmm. coming to the States. It's like, you know, I knew my uncle, but like, you know, barely. And he's like, no, you know, you don't move to a place to like, you know, start going out with your 60-year-old uncle that you barely know. So it's like, you know, I kind of moved to Oakland without knowing anybody here either.
Yeah.
So then it's like, you get that old discovery and like, that whole, like, you know, the first year were super hard. I have to admit it to you. They were exciting, but at the same time, they were extremely hard. But like, you know, it all pays off, you know, eventually.
Well, I wanted to ask about, so you mentioned growing up in Italy and you had that squat that occupied kind of like punk commune. And now like you, hearing the politics and using your voice and recently you were a part of something called Metalheads Against Racism. It's like a video kind of compilation. Is that something that you created?
Yeah, I started it with the help of Eric, which is the guitar player of Gate Creeper.
Yeah.
Because, we were just on tour together, and we have known each other for a while, and we became really good friends. And, like, you know, when I had the idea, I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to be something that involved as much people as possible, and I wanted people to take the project as they were his own project. I never wanted to like be like my own thing,
you know, I can't
do this by myself. It was my idea, like, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna create this email where people can send their videos or their submissions or their ideas
to,
but at the same time it's like, you know, I don't want to be the only one contacting people and telling them what to do. It's like, you know, I got more people as possible involved, telling them like, hey, if you have an idea, let's do it, or let's bring it up, and like, you know, tell people, and like, you know, let's have a conversation. And like, it all went very organically and very naturally. But at the same time, I do have experience of political activism from when I was really young to the, because it's like, you know, I started going to these places when I was like 14, 15. So by the time I was 16, 17, I was borderline completely brainwashed. I wanted to, you know, change the world. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was really active. But then at the same time, it's like, you know, I have also seen all the people that ended up, like, you know, in prison for a long time, or like, you know, that they ended up having very serious problems. Also because in Italy, you're seeing things that, like, you know, you're starting to see now in the U.S., but like, you know, people getting cops going to their house and putting like a bag on your head and taking you away. You know what I mean? These things have happened in Italy for a long time. Because in Italy in the 70s, we had Brigate Rosse. We had a real movement that, like, you know, they actually ended up kidnapping the person who was going to be elected as president. They shot him and killed him. You know what I mean? So there has been history of real political activism that in Italy that goes to the point that, like, you know, politicians get murdered. So it's like, you know, the reaction of police has always been, like, you know, against human rights and all of that, like it's happening now in the United States for no reason. But like, what I'm thinking, like, you know, so it's like, you know, in Italy, you become part of these movements and all of that, but you also see like the how bad you can end up, you know what I mean, by doing so.
Yeah.
And at the same time, something that discourages you a little bit after a while that you're part of this is like, you're seeing how damaging it is. How damaging it is, like the work that is put against you by the same, like, you know, people with the same goal will spend so much time criticizing each other.
It's infighting, yeah.
And why things should be done a different way, and like, oh, you're trying to help, but at the same time you're doing it wrong, but without giving you, like, you know, without giving you, like, oh, you should do it like this, with nothing positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, even in Italy, this is part of the, all over the world's movements, usually they get destroyed from the inside. You know what I mean? By being ultra-critic with each other, you know? And it's like, because people, they often feel like they need to say, when someone does something, they need to say, like, oh, you should not have done it. Oh, you should have done it differently. But at the same time, they're not doing anything, or if you tell them, like, hey, participate, help us make it better, then they don't want to. There is so much people that they just want to criticize, you know what I mean?
Sounds
so
like
eventually,
Twitter.
Eventually, if you want to be... it is like that. If you want to be a political activist in any way, you're going to end up fighting the most... The biggest fight is with people on that say they're on your side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you, man.
So it's like, ultimately... To me, it's like, you know, I've experienced the involvement in politics, and it's like, to me, ultimately, the only involvement that I really love is in music and is in the music scene, because music transcends politics, and music is really what brings people together, and music is politics itself. So it's like, to me, it's like, you know, the metal versus racism is something that I started with the help of other people, because I feel that, like, the metal scene needs it.
Absolutely.
And I feel that, like, you know, our music scene needs it. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, I honestly have to tell you that, like, I've already experienced trying to have a more political active life. And I still do, in a sense of, like, you know, I like to talk and say what I think, and I try and influence people in thinking a little different. And it's like, and I like to live my life in a way that makes sense to me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Morally and politically. But at the same time, I would not sacrifice my freedom to overthrow the situation. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, like, I think that, like, ultimately, I think that humans will change and things will change where people are ready for it. And it's really important to push for a change, and it's really important to push for a discussion.
Yeah.
But I think also art and music is something that is extremely important and that we should defend, because it's like, ultimately, like, you know, I think that, like, the problems of this planet and the problems of the human mind are almost inevitable.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're parts of our nature and the parts of the nature of the world that we live in. And it's like, we can struggle to make it better, and we all should. But most importantly, we should have a positive criticism, and we should have positive actions towards people who are trying to make a change. Because I feel that often people that they believe they all stand on the same side, mm-hmm. they do so much criticism while at the same time not doing anything positive and proactive, that they become themselves the biggest enemy. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean, dude. You couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said it better, man. Like, I appreciate you kind of giving such a thoughtful answer to that, man. And, you know, I don't want to take up your whole day. I know you probably got a lot of stuff to get to, but I just have a couple more questions. This one's a little bit more lighthearted. But
you're fine. I'm like, I don't have a busy schedule lately.
Okay, cool, man. Well, I was curious about you. You said that, you know, so I'm curious about, so we all know the big four of thrash, American thrash music, right? So Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth. In your opinion, Luca,
okay,
what's the big four of death metal? Your big four of death metal.
Well, for me, the big four of death metal are Death, Immolation, Morbid Angel, and Bolt Thrower.
Nice, dude. And Necrod coming in fifth, right?
I wouldn't say that. I don't think we deserve that position.
Right. You'd kind of be a little bit cocky if you were to say that, but man, that's a good big four.
I can be very cocky, but no, I'm not like stupid. You know? It's like we're talking about bands that have been existing for like 30, 40 years. You
exactly.
know? I would have never compared myself to them.
What was that again? So Death, Immolation, Morbid Angel, and Bolt Thrower. That's a huge.
Yeah.
That's big, man. Right on, man.
Wouldn't you go to see that show?
Oh, yeah, I'd go to that show, man. Okay, my final question for you, dude, is like, you know, during this pandemic time, a lot of days kind of blend together. It can be hard to get inspired. It can be hard to create. It can be hard to even have a good day and have a positive outlook. What keeps you inspired during this, you know, pandemic period?
Well, to me, it's like, you know, I always find a lot of inspiration from insecurity. Not insecurity in the sense of like, oh, I'm an insecure person, but like from not knowing what the future is going to be.
Okay.
Because it's like, I've always, like, I don't know, I've always lived, I don't know, the only thing that has been constant in my life is metal, is death metal, and necro right now. You know, this is my only thing that I know for sure is still going to be there.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, something terrible happens, someone gets terribly injured, they can never play music ever again or mm-hmm. whatnot. But like, you know, everything else in my life has always come and go. Always, all the time. So it's like, to me, these moments right now is great for inspiration. It's great. I think it's fantastic because it's like people are being more screwed on a global level, mm-hmm. instead of, like, you know, because usually it's like there is some people that get screwed way harder than others. Instead, now almost everybody's getting screwed a way or another. So that's kind of like, feels almost kind of like some kind of justice in a way. But like at the same time, it's like it's such an unsafe moment, and like it's such a moment where nobody knows what's going to happen. And like, if you don't find inspiration, like, you know, as an artist, you need to find inspiration in discomfort. So it's like, if you don't find inspiration right now, you might want to do something else. There's never been a better time to find inspiration. Everybody's got more time. Everybody's got more time to waste. Yeah. Everything looks so dark, and we don't know what's going to happen. So it's like, I think it's a great time to find inspiration. But also another thing that I believe is that inspiration needs to be triggered. So it's like, to me, for the same reason why, for me, it's like, you know, like I told you, I had 3-4 months to write all the songs for Mortal, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if we're talking about inspiration, you know, I could have told you, like, you know, in those 3-4 months, there wasn't much inspiration, so I failed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, inspiration needs to be triggered, and by triggered, I mean, you need to play music all day, every day.
Yeah.
And inspiration is eventually going to show up. If you play your guitar an hour every day or an hour and a half and nothing good comes out and you give up, and then eventually, sometimes, you know, it's kind of weird, but like, you know, sometimes you sit down with your guitar and you write a whole song,
yeah,
in half an hour, you're done. Or sometimes you sit down for 6 hours, play your guitar, and nothing good comes out. Or sometimes you sit down with your guitar for 5 hours and nothing good comes out, but then a couple of hours after, you write a super sick song. So it's like, to me, inspiration needs to be like, you know, you need to give it the time for inspiration to come.
Yeah.
You can't just play guitar. Even if you play guitar for a couple of hours every day for a week and you come out with nothing good, you still that doesn't mean you still gotta keep playing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, people sometimes they're like, oh, I'm not inspired, but like it really what they're saying is like, oh, I'm lazy.
Fair enough. Okay,
you
man.
Know,
I like
I
that.
I think inspiration comes. If you wait, inspiration comes. You just gotta stay there and wait for it. But it's gonna come. You know, you just gotta wait for it.
You gotta exercise it's
like
people, it out.
Like, you know, yeah, it's like, to me, it's like the same thing with like singing death metal. You know, death metal vocals are really hard, but like I truly believe that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
If you scream in a mic, destroying your throat for months, for a while, eventually at one point you figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it's the same with inspiration. It's like, you know, you can say that you don't have it, or you can sit there and wait for it until it maybe shows up.
You wouldn't go to the gym, you know, and do some pull-ups and then be angry that, you know, you're not, you haven't inspired your body to become buff.
Totally. This is somewhat similar, I guess.
Yeah.
It's somewhat similar. Yeah, you just gotta give it the time, enough time for it to happen.
Totally, man.
It's like we live in such a, like, you know, immediate reward kind of society and world. You mm-hmm. know, nobody likes to do anything that they don't get the results immediately.
That's
or
a good point.
Soon.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, the best things in life comes from like years of like, you know, taking care of the garden before you actually eat the fruit, you know, but that fruit is going to be so good when you actually get it.
That's very true, man. I appreciate you kind of, you know, breaking that down for me, dude. And, you know, again, the record is called Mortal. It's coming out August 28th. You can pre-order it now. Check out the new singles. Necrot, again, is the name of the band. Luca Indrio, bassist, vocalist for this band. Just, I'm really stoked for this record. Do you have any final words for the Northwest, the Seattle area?
Well, if anybody wants to Seattle area, we love Seattle. We have so many friends out there.
That's
it's ridiculous.
Awesome.
I might have friends there than anywhere else. And but like, yeah, we love coming to Seattle. Hopefully we'll come back soon. And it's like, you know, Seattle is one of those places where we had a following. We had a following before even anybody knew who the f*** we were. You
That's
know, we were going to Seattle and Portland playing with our tapes, and we already had great shows. But, like, yeah, one thing that I want to tell everybody in general right now is, like, please, if you can, if you like our music, buy the album. It's like, I'm not in any way against people downloading music for free. Mm-hmm. I think that people that cannot afford to buy an album should go online and download the music for free and have it, because the music is for everybody. But, like, you know, medium bands like us or smaller bands than us, even, like, they really need your support right now. If you like their music and you can't afford it without, you know, having serious problems, like, you should try and support the bands.
Absolutely.
And we have a website on our Bandcamp, necro.bandcamp.com, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have t-shirts and records. If anybody wants to, like, you know, throw a few dollars with us right now, it's really great for us, because, like, you know, we make our money from the shows, and right now we don't have shows. And not only that, it's like we have no idea when shows will happen again. So if anybody can support, not just us, but any smaller band that you would like, that they have a new record or whatnot, please go buy it, because... and if there is, like, you know, a way to support your local venues too, if they're selling food or whatnot...
Yep.
Like, try and let's all try and be very conscious of where we spend our the little money we got left right now, because it's like, if we keep giving our money to corporations, especially right now, and it's like, you know, a lot of small businesses, a lot of artists are gonna quit, they're gonna die, they're gonna shut down. So it's like, you know, I just want to tell people to be a little conscious of where they buy their food right now, or who they support. So make sure to go to your, you know, local taco truck rather than going to, like, you know, Chipotle.
Exactly, man. Dude, thank you so much, dude, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Again, Mortal coming out August 28th. Pre-order it. Luca, thanks, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. Talk to you soon, man. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, soon.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.